All right.
Okay, Chaver, we left off with a big problem over here. This sugya of Isha Mishum Chitz, of Isha Mishum Mamona, which was a machlokesin Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We posit, of course, like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that Isha is Mishum Chitz. When a person lights a fire and it goes out and it causes damage, that's considered to be your action. It's not the action of your property for which you're liable. It's rather considered to be an extension of your action. And in fact, the Gemara seemed to have applied that not only in the area of Nezikin, but in the area of Ritzicha as well, because the Gemara says over here in Chav Beis Mebeis that if a person lights a fire and there's an Eved, Kofus Loi, he burns down a Kaddish and a Kaddi, and there's an Eved that's tied up right next to it, so not only is he, would he, you know, conceivably have to pay for the Kaddi and the Kaddish that he burned down, but he's chayav is for Ritzicha, for killing the Eved. Because if a person kills an Eved, he's chayav Ritzicha. If an animal kills an Eved, right, your property kills an Eved, you have to pay Shloshim Shkolim. But if you kill the Eved, so then a person could be chayav Ritzicha. It's no different than if he killed any other person. Be chayav Ritzicha. And therefore, the Gemara seems to say that if a person burns down these things at the same time that he kills an Eved, he wouldn't be obligated to pay because Kimle b'deramine. He's a Ritzicha to the degree that we would apply Kimle b'deramine. Meaning the Gemara applies to Rabbi Yochanan and Shita that if a person lights a fire and it goes out and causes damage, not only to the heir of Nezikin is that considered to be Adam Hamazik, but you're considered to be Adam Harotseach. And if a person kills somebody else with his fire that he lights, he's not only responsible for the damages, it would actually be considered his action in the area of Ritzicha as well, to the degree that we'd apply Kimle b'deramine. Because of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, though, they seems to disagree, so the Ran and Masechta Sanhedrin claim that perhaps we don't apply Isha Mishum Chitzav to the area of Ritzicha, and the Brisker Rav explained further what the Ran was saying. The Brisker Rav actually says that he later found out this was a Ran, but he said this all on his own, and then later he saw that this is a Ran, is that we don't apply Isha Mishum Chitzav outside of Nezik, and we don't apply it to Ritzicha. All the Gemara here meant to say is not to apply Kimle b'derabamine, unless you light the Eved himself on fire, then of course you're a Rotzeach, both according to Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, what the Gemara meant to say is, since the person who lights a fire and it goes down and it kills an Eved, he's not a Rotzeach, but yet at the same time, there's no monetary payment that can be assessed for killing a person. There is no value that's attached to human life. All the Gemara meant to say was, you're not obligated to pay for killing a person because there is no value that's attached to human life. The Gemara did not mean to say you'd be a Rotzeach and actually we'd apply Kimle b'derabim. When the Gemara said you're putter from paying, it wasn't referring to the Gedi and the Gedish at all. All it's referring to is a person paying a monetary payment for killing a person. That's all the Gemara meant to say. That's what the Gemara said. According to Reish Lakish, though, if the fire is Isha Mishum Mamono, you would have to pay Shloshim Shkolim. Like if your shor killed the Eved, you have to pay Shloshim Shkolim for lighting a fire that goes and kills the Eved. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's considered to be Adam Hamazik. There is no payment that's assessed for killing a human being with Adam Hamazik. So that's what the Gemara would have said, Potter, but not because of Kimwe B'Derabmine. Perhaps we don't apply Isha Mishum Chitzav outside of the area of Nezikin. However, Rova Rishonim do not assume like this. Ron, and the explanation of the Brisker Rav, however brilliant it might be, and as we showed yesterday, fits beautifully into the language of the Gemara. It's wonderful. However, most Rishonim do not accept this explanation. Most Rishonim interpret our Gemara simply that according to Rabbi Yochanan, just like if you harness a natural force to do your will, and it goes and burns down something, you're other Ramazik, you'd have to pay Nezek, Tzar, Ripo, Yishevis, and Boshes. It's not just like a shore that caused damage, where all you pay is Nezek, the loss in value. You're an other Ramazik. So too, if you harness a natural force to do your bidding, to do your will, when it comes to Ritzicha as well, you'd be a Rotzeach, no different than a person who shoots an arrow or fires a gun. We all understand he's considered to be a Rotzeach. So too, if you harness a natural force, you'd be a Rotzeach as well. And that's what you see from our Gemara. You're potter for the Gedi and the Gedish. If a person lights a fire and it kills a person at the same time as it burns down property, we'd apply Kimwe, we'd rob Mine. And since you're a Rotzeach, you're not chayav to pay for the damage that occurs at the same time. We were left with a problem, though. This is why the Ran interpreted our Gemara differently. But we were left with a problem, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin over here the following. In the second line, Amar Papa, Zvarak Tzor L'mayla V'Halchal Etzdadin. Yeah, you throw a rock up, a dagger up in the air, and it goes to the side, Chayev. Why, says the Gemara, Mishum Dekochohu? That's considered to be your force that it threw to the side. No difference than if I throw a dagger, you know, at a wall, and it kills somebody, so I'll do it, I throw it up. But it goes to the side, that's considered to be, goes in an arc, you're considered to be a Rotzeach. What if it goes straight up and comes straight down? Sounds like you're potter. Say, ask the Ran, ask Tosfos, why are you potter? Why isn't that Isha Mishum Chitzav? No different than a person who, harnesses the wind to cause damage. or to do his, light a fire in the wind, which I know the wind is going to take it and burn down this guy, and there's an Eved Kafus Lo, there's a person tied up inside of the house, here, Rotzeach, here too, I threw it straight up in the air, I harnessed the wind, in this case, not the wind, but gravity, to come down and to kill the person. You should be a Rotzeach, Isha Mishim Chitzav. That was the question that the Ron had. So the Ron first suggests, well, maybe gravity is not really a koach. Gravity is, something that happens once in a while. Things fall down, but you never know what goes up. What goes down might go up once, Then the Ron said, no, come on, let's not be ridiculous. If the wind is a natural force, which if you harness it to do your will, you could be a rotzeach. Certainly if you harness gravity, which is even more consistent and more dependable than the wind, which is so much fickle, so certainly you'd be a rotzeach if you harness the wind. So what's going on over here? So that's why the Ron got back into the corner to say, well, Eish Mishim Chitzav doesn't apply to Ritzikah, and he reinterpreted our Gemara. Oh, again, most assume, no, Eish Mishim Chitzav applies to Ritzikah. You see from our Gemara, we apply Kim Evid Rabbeinu. So then how come if I throw the arrow straight up in the air and it comes straight down and kills somebody, why am I not a rotzeach? So Tosis over here says, well, maybe the whole Gemara is only going according to Reish Lakish, not according to Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, again, not the greatest answer. Then Tosis finally says, which seems to be the answer that the other Achorinim accept. Tosis says, over here, three lines from the bottom, Od Yesh Lefarish, of Tosis Mesech Sanhedrin. Dibachol Hani, actually, in order to understand Tosis, we're going to need to see later on in our Gemara. The bechol hani the soif cham of itzina v'ari love of izarik sor lemal v'nafu l'sachas avil kavz of yisham poter. That case is different. Why? Because it's more comparable to the first case in Sanhedrin, and as we'll see, the conclusion of our Gemara. Look at the first case in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, kavz omez berav poter. A person ties up his friend and he dies of starvation. You're poter. Why are you poter? I didn't kill the guy. What did the guy die from? Starvation. You can't blame that on me. I tied his hands up. He wasn't able to feed himself, but I didn't kill him. So will you win, a Nobel Peace Prize? No. Will you be a good person? No. Might you be a Gram Rotzeach? Yes. But are you a Rotzeach who's Chayv Misa? No. No. You didn't kill him. But Amar Rava Kafsa B'Chamomes, you tie him up though in the sun and he dies from the heat. Bitzina, I tie him up at the North Pole. Yeah. Umes, and he dies. Chayv. Then you killed him. Because I put him into the cold, and he died, and he died as a result. So I killed him. As opposed to a guy dying from starvation, which I didn't cause. I prevented him from feeding himself, but I didn't kill him. Here, you killed him. What if I tie him up, though, in a place, Soif Chama Lavoi? I didn't tie him up in a place where the sun exists already. The sun will come soon. Soif Tzino Lavo, or the cold will come soon. But it's not here now. Then you're Potter. Then you're Potter. Meaning, if it doesn't take over right away and complete my action, it's rather something will occur later on that is not considered to be Isha Mishum Chitzav. That's not Isha Mishum Chitzav at all. Therefore, you're not a Rotzeach in those cases. It doesn't happen right away. So therefore, Torah says, Oidei Shafar Shvachol Hani, Desov Chama Vetzina V'Ari Lavo. They're not here now. The lion might come later, the cold might come later, the heat might come later. That's not considered to be, and then the natural force is going to come, but it doesn't take over immediately at the conclusion of my action. To complete my action, that's sov kamalava, sov tzinogava, that's not even eisha mishim chitzav. And we see that from our Gemara as well. Chaver, look over here at the continuation of our Gemara. The Gemara continues on. Let's continue on to the end of the sugya. The Gemara quotes a braisa, again, in this running machlok, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Tashma, hasheleach has habi'ira b'yad chere shoyte v'katan. A person takes a flame, and he gives it to the Cheresh Shoyt of a Katan. What does a Cheresh Shoyt of a Katan do? First of all, is that a good idea? Is that advisable to give it to a Cheresh Shoyt of a Katan, a blowtorch? No, not a good idea, right? So, but, are you responsible for what happens? So no, you're Pater B'dinei Adam, V'chai B'dinei Shamayim. It's not a good idea, and you should have been smarter, and therefore you're Chai B'dinei Shamayim, but Pater B'dinei Adam. So Gemara says, Bishlam Alaman Diyomer Isha Mishim Chitzav. This makes sense according to the one who holds Isha Mishim Chitzav, Chitzav de Cheireshu. You're now responsible for it because this is the actions of the Cheresh alone. Taisus says, why? Why is this different than any other natural force that I harness to do that which I want? So Taisus explains over here Chitzav de Cheireshain because it's not necessarily predictable that this will inevitably occur. I don't know what's going to happen with the Cheresh Shoyt of a Katan. It's not wise, without a doubt. But do I know damage will occur when I give them a blowtorch? Not necessarily. They might drop it. They might not know how to use it. They might forget about it. You know, might give it to somebody else. It might burn nothing. It might use it, but burn absolutely nothing. So Tosfos says, we don't really know what's going to happen as opposed to the wind or some other natural force where, you know, you could probably predict what's going to happen. So Tosfos says, this is not considered to be harnessing a natural force to do your bidding because I really don't know what's going to happen. So that's why we understand your part of Medina Yadam. But according to the one who holds Isha Mishim Mimona, when you give a fire, your fire is considered to be your property. If I give, a pit bull to a Kherosh Rodi Vekata, then that's not considered to be proper Shmira. And I'm Chayev for the damage that occurs. Even if it's not necessarily going to occur, it's not inevitable that it's going to occur. This is not, you're not Chayev because you harness a natural force to do your bidding, like Isha Mishim Chitza, like firing a gun when they're shooting an arrow. You're Chayev because you didn't take care of your property properly, or you didn't guard it properly. So, you gave it over to a Shomer, to a person to watch it, who's not fit, or not responsible enough to do so. So, it's my law. Amar Reish Lakish, made the Chizki, you're right. Actually, Reish Lakish addended the statement. It's only if you gave him something which is not dangerous right now. Valiba, and the Kherosh Rodi Vekatan expanded or, fanned the flames. So that's why you're not chayv, because I gave him something that wasn't inherently dangerous. I gave the guy a match. You could give a Kherosh Rodi Vekatan a match. He took it and made a whole forest fire out of it. That, come on. I didn't have to assume that was going to happen. I gave the guy a torch. So then you would be chayv. My time of Bari Azeka. It's not necessarily inevitably going to occur, but it's definitely possible it could occur. And that's why you would be chayv. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Shoheves Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says, come on, even a Shoheves, a flame isn't necessarily going to occur a danger. It wouldn't be so unwise to give it to the Kherosh Rodi Vekatan. What's the guy going to do with the candle that's burning? The only time it would be a problem, that's still the Kherosh is doing. Lo Mechayv at the muscle of Gavza Sils of Estraga. Only if I gave him small twigs, big twigs, and a fire, meaning I mamish gave the guy a whole conflagration kit, like a whole forest fire kit. So then I'm chayev. That's really unwise. That's considered to be my action. Otherwise, it's not considered to be my action. Okay, so here the Gemara is drawing somewhat of a opposite distinction. According to Reish Lakish, you're more responsible than Rabbi Yochanan. Not personally, but I should have, if it's my mamon, I have to guard it more carefully, and giving it to a Kherosh Rodi Vekatan, I'd already be responsible. According to Rabbi Yochanan, its continuation of your action has to be something that's inevitably going to occur. And when you gave it to the Kherosh Rodi Vekatan, it's not necessarily inevitably going to occur, and you wouldn't be chayv. Fine, now the Gemara comes to a conclusion. This was relevant for us. Amar Rava, Kro Masnisa Misayel Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Pasuk and a Braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Kro Dechsiv, Pasuk. If it goes out by itself, Yishalem Hamavir Sabeira. So then the person who lit the flame has to pay. What does the pasuk say? If a fire goes out on its own, which doesn't sound like you're taking the flame and lighting the house. Everyone agrees that's your reaction. Yeah, I light the Eved on fire, of course you're a Rotzeach. But let's say I light a fire over here. The wind takes it and carries it and kills the Eved. Or the wind takes it and carries it and burns down someone else's house. Is that my action? Or is that my property that caused damage? So from the fact that the Pasuk says, Kisei Tse Eish, which sounds like the fire is traveling from point A to point B, Yishalim Hamavir Es Habeira, the person who lit the flame, sounds like it's your action that burned down the house, even though it's far away. Because I knew inevitably it was going to occur when I harnessed the wind to bring the fire from point A to point B. That's considered to be an extension of my action. Shema Amino, Isha Mishum Chisav. That implies like a B'yachanan. Masnisa, we have a Bryce that supports a B'yachanan too. Decide your Pasuk HaKasuv B'nizke Mamono. V'si and B'nizke Gufo. The Pasuk begins with Nizke Mamono. What's the Pasuk? Kisei Seyesh. Umatza Kaitzim, Vinecha Godish, Vakama Osadi, Shalem, Yishalem, Amavir, Sabeira, begins with Nizke Mamon, concludes with Nizke Gufo. So that implies Isha Mishum Chizav. Yeah, it begins talking about a fire, it concludes talking about you, and Nizke Gufo. That sounds like you are the person who lit the fire, is the protagonist here, and he's the one who's responsible for the fire, because it's considered to be his action. Amarava Kashali Labaye. 1 minute. According to the one, so we're really concluding here like Rabbi Yochanan. Person lights a fire, travels from point A to point B, but inevitably was going to occur because of a wind that was going to take over and bring the fire from point A to point B. So 1 minute, every time that a fire burns, that's your action. How do we ever have the Ptur Tamun? If you remember, all the way back in the first parak we discussed, one of the unique characteristics of Eish is that you're Pater for that which is hidden, for that which is not immediately obvious, which you can't see. But if a person causes damage, if it's Isho Mishum Chitzav, that's Adam Amazik. There's no Ptur Tamun by Adam Amazik. Just because you can't see it, you're responsible for whatever damage you cause. So when do you ever have the Ptur Tamun? When do we ever have the Arba Avos Nezikin, one of which is Mavir, is Eish, as opposed to, which is Hever, Eish, as opposed to Adam Amazik. Every Eish is Adam Amazik. When do we ever have a Ptur Tamun? That's really what the Gemara is asking. The Pater Echmane, Hechem Mishkachas Lo. Sigmar says, no. V'nechalei, he answered the question, kegon shenafka d'leikol ha'isachotzer, a fire falls into a field, meaning I lit a fire in my field, and it wasn't supposed to travel on, because there was a fence there. So I lit a limited fire. V'nafka geder shalom machmas d'leika, something else happens, and the flame goes out and travels and causes damage. So then, I didn't really harness a natural force to do my bidding. I lit a fire here, was supposed to be contained. It then got out of control. Even Rabbi Yochanan will agree, that's not Isha Mishim Chitzav. Gonch enough with Leika, Ochaz Chatzav, enough with Gedda, Shalom Achmas Leika, Vahoch of Edlika, Vezika, Vachatzah Cheres, the Hasam, here the Gemara has a critical phrase, Kalu Loi Chitzav, your arrow dropped. Meaning, that's not a continuation of my original action. Yes, I am responsible for the fire. The Gemara is going to say in a second, both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon Lakish, I did it, I caused this. But that's not my action. I didn't harness a natural force that continuously carried on and performed this action. Kalu lo chitzav. Your arrow stopped, your arrow fell. Ihaki leinu gogoi nami kalu chitzav. 1 minute, so why am I chayv at all for this fire if it's not my action? Eloman de isbei. Islay mishum chitzav, islay nam mishum amono. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that ishum mishum chitzav, he would agree, even if it's not a direct cause of your action, it's not a continuation of your action, the natural force does not take over immediately and continue and complete your action, it's still your property. Oh, so you're chai for the damage that it caused. Yeah, so I lit a fire that was contained. And it's not a normal wind that takes it and brings it from point A to point B. Something else happens, which interferes over here. My arrow dropped. But then my fire goes and causes damage. Even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that that's Eisho Mishum Mimono. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, if Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Eisho Mishum Mimono, first of all, if there was a fence here, the Gemara says, first of all, if there was a fence here, why is it even Eisho Mishum Mimono? Kagon Shahailo, the Godra, Velo Godra. I saw the fence fell down. I had an opportunity to further guard the fire. It's not a direct continuation of my action, but I had a chance to build the fence back. Velo Godra, the Hasam Shoro, Huvugo Tapach Biape. That's no different than a Shoah that I didn't guard. So you're right. The fire started over here, was contained. Something else happens, and it's not, began as an onus, but I had a chance to fix it. I didn't. I'm responsible for it, no different than the rest of my property. When it says, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, when it's kalo chitzav, I mean, it's not a direct continuation, completion of your action, it's still no worse than Eishim Mishum Mimono, my Beinayu. Everyone agrees, Eishim Mishum Mimono. Ika Beinayu, lechayv bar b'dvarim. No, the difference is, if it is not kalo chitzav, if it is not that there's a break, it's a direct continuation, completion of my action. I harness a natural force to continue my action directly, and it takes over right away and completes everything that I'm about to do, or that I intend to do, then you're Adam Amazik, you're Chayev Bar B'dvarim. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, you would never be Chayev. In Nezek Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boshes, it's never Adam Amazik. All this is Mamon Amazik. All this is your property causing damage, for which all you are Chayev is for Nezikin. So what comes out of this Gemara? Something critical. Says the Chazon Ish, this is the basis for Tosfos' opinion. And that is, what does it mean, kalu lechitzav? What it means is, I did an action over here. I lit a fire. And a wind could have taken it from point A to point B, but there's a fence there. So, or there, you know, so it really wasn't going to happen. Then, at the hockey vahockey, after time, the fence burns down, something else happens, the wind carries it from point A to point B, but that did not take over continuously, immediately, from the conclusion of my action. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. Then that's not even Isha Mishum Chitzav. The only time it's Isha Mishum Chitzav is if the natural force takes over immediately at the completion of my action, not Kalul Chitzav, my arrow dropped. Then the fire continues on. No. Immediately after I lit the flame, the wind comes. The wind comes and takes it from point A to point B. If the wind doesn't come right away, that's kolalei chitzav. I lit a fire over here. It's over. Done. Wind came later. Ooh, that's isha mishum memono. I'm going to have to pay, but it's not my action. How can you call that my action? It's only when a natural force immediately takes over the completion of my action to complete that which I started. Then it's Eishim Mishum Chitzav, then you're Rotzeach. So let's get back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, a person ties someone else up in the cold, in the sun, you're a Rotzeach. If I tie him up and he can't feed himself, so then I'm a Gram Rotzeach, but I didn't kill him. He died from starvation. But if I tie him up and he dies from the cold, he dies from the heat, which I placed him in that situation, I'm a Rotzeach. Oh, what if I tied him up in a place Sof Chamalavo? Sof Tzinolavo. It's not here now, it's coming later. Says Tosfos, that is not Isha Mishum Chitzav, you're not a Rotzeach. Says the Chazon Ish, why not? Because Kolu Lechitzav. It didn't happen right away. That's what Tosfos means to say. Let's read it again. Oide Shofar Shabachol Hani, the Sof Chama Vitzina Vari Lavo, Vitzarek Tzor Lamala, Vinafu Asachas Aviu Kov, Soveviu Shampata, the Dami Lako Koko. It's no different than, it's not considered to be a direct link to your action. So Chazon Ish says, what he really means is, kalu lechitzav. Tosfos here is lacking explanation. It's difficult to figure out exactly what it means. So that's where the Chazon Ish fills in. It means, since it doesn't happen right away, that's considered to be kalu lechitzav. What about when I throw it up? What happened? I threw up the stone into the air. Let's go back to that case where we really started. And it comes down and it kills somebody. So what about over there? Why over there are you not chayiv? So the answer is, I harnessed the natural force to do that which I wanted. What did I harness? Gravity. When does gravity begin to act upon this item? We're not physicists, but anybody here physics? No. We're not physicists, but when does gravity begin to act upon the item that I throw up into the air?
It starts coming down.
Immediately, right? Immediately. That's why it slows down and ultimately reaches a peak and then falls back to the earth. But gravity acts on it immediately. So the natural force begins to operate immediately, but doesn't act on it to complete my action immediately. What action? I threw it up. When does it start going, though, in a different direction once it peaks? You can't call that acting immediately to complete my action. I threw it up. I didn't throw it down. Gravity itself ultimately halts the item at its peak and then brings it down, but it didn't start. You can't.
You know it's going to fall.
You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen, but we're going to have to say for Tosfos, I might have argued otherwise. I might have argued I only threw it up to kill you, and therefore the natural force takes over right away to complete my action. But perhaps we'll have to say for Tosfos, even though gravity, Tosfos, I don't think, thought gravity began to act on the item until it started falling down. But even according to us, let's say we have a greater understanding of gravity, I think what we'll have to explain is, no, since it doesn't begin to operate immediately at the completion of your action, to complete your action, right? So then, because I'm throwing it in one direction, gravity brings it in another direction, so we'll have to say that that's not considered to be isho mishum chitzav, and therefore even though it begins to act immediately upon the item, doesn't complete the action in the same direction while I was throwing it, that's not considered to be ritzicha, and that's why you'd be potter. Yeah.
And also shooting an arrow at some point, even though
no, because
the arrow's going to arch.
Correct, but there I shot it in the direction that ultimately it went. It's true. There's two vectors, right, up and out. Of course, there's two things acting here, but the ruach mitzuya, meaning the power that I harness, which is, let's say, the gunpowder or the force of the slingshot or the bow and arrow. Either way, there it is continuing the action that I began. Here I'm literally throwing it up in one direction and it's coming back down in the opposite direction. So we must have to argue for Tosfos that that's different. Well, I wouldn't have said on my own, but I think that's what we're forced to say, and I think the distinction can exist. I don't think it's a distinction without a svara. I think there is a svara here, and that is you can't call that completing my action when I threw it in the exact opposite direction. If I throw it there, even though it arcs, you can visualize that more as my throw, as if I threw it straight up and it came straight down. I'm not sure coming straight down we can necessarily attribute.
But even then, when they didn't know the full laws of gravity, they knew that every single time they would throw it immediately.
Right, so that's why the Ron says you have to say this is a natural force. He quotes some who say gravity's not a natural force. It just happens to be randomly things fall. That was before Newton, so let's put in perspective. So But then, and then the Ron says, no, come on, that can't be. You know, he didn't know it was because everything that's greater in mass has a greater gravitational pull. He didn't know that. He wasn't Newton. But I'm not going to try and argue that the Ron was already alluding to Newton. But he knew that this was a natural force, which you harnessed. At the same time, harnessing a natural force is not good enough unless it takes over immediately at the completion of your action. And I think one could argue here, this is not called taking over immediately at the completion of your action. Even though gravity begins to act on it immediately, it doesn't begin to pull it, you know, it acts in the opposite direction that you threw it. Maybe one could argue that that's not considered to be a direct result of your action, therefore we wouldn't apply Ishim Ishim Chitza. This distinction, all of these distinctions, this whole discussion applies not only to the area of Nezikin, as we said, according to Rav Rishon, it applies to Ritzicha too, Tosfos, the Rambam probably. The Ron disagreed. The Ron said there's only by Nezikin, it doesn't apply to Ritzicha because he got stuck with the throwing it up. How come when it comes down, you're not Ishim Ishim Chitza, you're not a Ritzicha? But he had to reinterpret our whole Gemara. So Rav Rishonim don't accept that. Rav Rishonim understood it applies to Ritzicha too. It seems to also apply to the area of Hilchos Shabbos, and this is a critical distinction. These issues we've been discussing will have to help us understand how we can negotiate using Shabbos clocks on Shabbos. The difference between my action and what we call grumma. Why don't we say every time I cause something to occur, that's called Ishom Ishim Chitzav. So look over here. Do we apply the principle of Ishom Ishim Chitzav outside of Nezikin, outside of Ritzicha? That's what we see in the Gemara, perhaps. So the Nemuke Yosef has over here his famous question, or his base, but then perhaps the famous Nemuke Yosef in all of Shas, asked the Nemuke, certainly in Bava Kama, asked the Nemuke Yosef the following thing. If we hold Ishom Ishim Chitzav, harness the natural force to do my will, to complete my action, that's considered to be a continuation of my action, how do I ever light Shabbos candles? When I light the Shabbos candle on Friday, that's permitted, but it's going to continue to burn throughout Shabbos. That's my action. Ishom Ishom Chitzav. V'yikashulcham kein heki sharinim chashecha v'ahavik et haneros. V'avokasa halechas v'nigmeres b'Shabbos. It's going to continue to burn on Shabbos. V'chei machizan es harba medura. V'lechas v'nigmeres halokasa b'Shabbos. I light the lights in the room, and it's going to burn throughout Shabbos. V'fiza hareihu ki'ilu hiv'ira hu ba'atzmo b'Shabbos. As if you lit it on Shabbos. Ishom Ishom Chitzav. We pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Lo kashalon. Shrei chiyuvo mishum chitzav kizorei kachet shebesho se yotza chetz mitachas yodo bo yitzah shor nasa kol. Says when Muke Yosef, a cryptic answer, but that the minute that you shot the arrow, you're responsible for everything that occurs afterwards, but it all is traced back to that initial moment that you shot the arrow. Meaning, when do you become a murderer? When do you become a person who causes damage? The minute that you shot the arrow, not when it actually causes the damage. So over here, it says the Muke Yosef, everything is contained within your initial action before Shabbos. Yeah, so you're chayev immediately when you engage in the action initially, which is on Friday. So what does the Muke Yosef mean by that? We discussed already that there's a machlokas haposkim. One could have interpreted the Muke Yosef in one of two ways. One could have said what the Muke Yosef means is, literally, whenever you begin a prolonged action, we attribute it to the very, we assess its status at the very beginning, right? So I light a candle on Friday. When do we consider the entire burning of the candle? Already at that moment that you lit it the first time. Whatever, you know, we don't consider it to be an ongoing malacha. It's all contained in that initial action. So let's say, therefore, says Rashash and the other Achronim argued about this. Let's say I put something into an oven the end of Shabbos. 6 o'clock, Shabbos afternoon. I put chicken in. It's not going to become Michael Ben Derusoi cooked until Matzah Shabbos. 7 o'clock nowadays, right? 7:30, I put it in. It's not going to be cooked till Matzah Shabbos. Am I chayv mishum bishul? I plant the seed on Shabbos. The seed is not going to take root till Thursday. Am I chayv mishum zareya? How could I be? When is the malach occurring? During the week? Oh, no, maybe you can. Says in Muke Yosef, Bosra mei karaz linon. When do we assess the status of your action or the consequence of your action? All from the very beginning. We project everything backwards. We trace it all back to your initial action. So if ultimately this item gets baked, this item gets cooked, if you started the process on Shabbos, you're chayiv just like if you light a candle before Shabbos, even though it continues to burn on Shabbos, you're potter, it's mutter. Just like you light a candle before Shabbos, even though it continues to burn on Shabbos, we attribute everything to the beginning of your action, and that occurred on Friday. So too, if you put something into an oven at Shabbos afternoon, even though it doesn't bake until Matzah Shabbos, you're chayiv. We attribute everything to the beginning of the of when you did it, and here you did it on Shabbos. Yeah.
Does it make a difference whether or not you have to do an action at the end?
No.
Lighting a candle.
No, I lit a candle, nothing happens. So it says the Ran, it says Mukha Yosef, everything's attributed to the beginning. Well,
what? But with cooking, you have to do an action.
What do I have to do?
Take it out of the oven.
I could just turn off the oven. The oven could go off on a timer. You don't necessarily have to do that, yeah. Other operators disagree. No, come on. That's not what the Nemuka Yosef meant. What the Nemuka Yosef means is the following. What the Nemuka Yosef means is not everything is attributed to the beginning of when you did it. What the Nemuka Yosef means is on Shabbos, you cannot be chayiv unless you do something with an action. Maybe it's a continuous action. Isha Mishum Chitzav means not that everything is contained in the initial moment when you started it. You can continue to become responsible as the thing unfolds. But it unfolded on Shabbos when you were passive. You can never be chayv on Shabbos for something that happens when you are passive. So I began an action before Shabbos. I lit the candle. That's active. Well, that's what the Mukha Yosef says. That's the moment you can be chayv. Even though things unfold on Shabbos, that's considered to be a continuation of your action. So you could have been chayv at that point. But on Shabbos, as a rule, you cannot be chayv if you're passive. But then Leolam, if I put a tavshil, I put a dish, I put chicken into the oven on Friday, on Shabbos afternoon, if it doesn't get baked, it doesn't get cooked until Motzei Shabbos, maybe I am potter. Maybe I am potter. Maybe I am potter. Maybe it's not mutter, but maybe I am potter. Because not everything gets attributed, just traced back to your initial action. Why are you chai for Zoreah then? Every time you plant, it never is going to take root on Shabbos. How do you ever chai for Zoreah? We must say Zoreah is not the plant taking root. It's rather simply putting it in the ground is the malach of Zoreah, even if it never takes root. That's what we'll have to say. Anyway, that's the comment of Nemuka Yosef. But beyond interpreting his answer, what do you see from his basic premise? We apply Isha Mishum Chitzav, not only in the area of Nezikin, not only in the area of Ritzicha, in the area of Hilchos Shabbos as well. If I harness a natural force to do a malacha, I'm chayiv. That's why he asked, how are you able to light a candle on Friday? It continues to burn out to Shabbos. And he said everything is either contained in your action on Friday or you're passive once it comes to Shabbos. Either way, he applies the principle outside of the area of Nezikin and Ritzicha. And the Ramban seems to have a similar approach. The Ramban is describing a person who's plowing with an animal. So, of course, there's a concept of Shrisas Behemto on Shabbos. I have to, not only do I have to rest on Shabbos, but the animal can't do a malacha on my behalf. And if I encourage the animal to do a malacha on Shabbos, I could violate Mechamer, which is a lav. Most of the Surim of Shabbos are Lamites, Avis Malachas, are Chayv Skilo. There is a lav, though, of Mechamer, if I encourage the animal to do a malacha. Fine. But says Ramban, if I actually sit on the animal and I plow with the animal, says Ramban, that's not just Shvisas Behemto, that my animal has to rest on Shabbos. That's not just Alava Mechamer. I am plowing because I harnessed a natural force to do that which I wanted. What did I harness? The animal is no different, says Ramban, than a sickle in the hand of a farmer. Says Ramban over here, he's Gimel Nesha, Chayrish Vehemo, who knows in a way, Vukoyvish Uzotachas Yodo, I put on it a yoke. I'm pushing it throughout the field. That's my action. Ubo hitalo, and it depends on me. I'm responsible for biyad uman. The behema is no different. It's only like a kli in the hand of the artisan that I harness the natural force. But I harness the animal to do that which I wanted. Isha mishum chitzav applies to Rosh Shabbos also. That's perhaps what you see. And we see it another time from a Gemara later on in Baba Kama. Chever, turn over here, Samach Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, discusses the case of Zorah V'ruach Misayaso. What is Zorah V'ruach Misayaso? After a person would thresh, would cut the grains, yeah? So the grain would be contained in a kernel of grain is contained within a husk. You thresh out, yeah? You step on the kernel of grain that cracks out the, you step on the husk that cracks out the kernel of grain. Then the two are mixed with one another. So what did they have to do in order to separate between them? So they first threw it up in the wind. The light chaff, the light husk blew away. The heavier pieces of rocks and the kernels of grain fell to the ground. Then you had to sort, do borer between the kernels of grain and the rocks. First you sifted, that was merakeh, then you did borer. But before all that, you did zorah. Zorah was winnowing. You threw it up into the air. The wind separated between the lighter pieces that blew away and the heavier stones and kernels of grain that fell to the ground. But what happened? What am I doing? I'm performing a malacha through the wind. Oh. And are you chai for that on Shabbos? Yes. Oh. So don't you see? Isho mishum chitzav. That what? I'm performing a malacha by using the wind. So you're chai on Shabbos. Even though I'm not doing it directly. I'm causing it to have. I harness the natural force to do it. What? I harness the wind. No different than the fire. I harness the wind to bring it from point A to point B. Says Rabbi Yechon, that's considered to be your action when it comes to Shabbos too. That's considered to be your action. And Rashi there explains, Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah, because the Pasuk says in connection with the construction of the Mishkan, which is a paradigm for the Melech of Shabbos, that Meleches Machsheves, so too, Shabbos is Meleches Machsheves, thoughtful Melech, Niskayim HaMachshavto, Denechale Beruach Misayosa. Says Rashi, here what you intended to occur, occurred. And therefore, even though it didn't occur directly, you didn't separate between the chaff and the kernels of grain. The wind did. You're chayav on Shabbos for it. Wow. All right. Yishum Yishum Chitzav applies outside of Nezikin, outside of Ritzicha. It applies to Hilchas Shabbos too. Now we have, though, a big problem. Chaver, what's the big problem? Look over here. Says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos over here, Kuf Chaf Mebeis. Oh, he's down. Person sees a fire is burning on Shabbos. So, of course, if there's Pikuach Nefesh, and now communities is always Pikuach Nefesh, you have to put out the fire, forget everything, right? All right. But let's say you're on a desert island. There is no Pikuach Nefesh. The property might burn down. It's B'makom Hefzed. So, what can you do B'makom Hefzed? Also, Mechitza B'chol HaKelim. You can make a Mechitza. A water wall of utensils. When the fire will get there, it'll burn through the utensils, it'll crack the utensils, and the water will come out of the utensils and extinguish the fire. You can't extinguish the fire directly, that would be kibui. It's not mutar b'makom hefzed, but I can do this. I can build a wall of utensils, jugs full of water, and the jugs full of water will crack when the fire reaches it, and it'll put out the fire. So that the fire should not continue. Why is this permitted? Ksiv lo yisasakol malacha, asiyah hu da'asa gramashari. What is prohibited on Shabbos? Mida uraisa, doing malacha directly, not causing it to occur. Here I'm not extinguishing the fire, I'm causing it to happen. Grama is not mutter. The Mordechai writes there, Masechta Shabbos. Grama is still prohibited midrabbanan. Grama is still prohibited midrabbanan, even on Yontif. Says the Mordechai, Grama is prohibited midrabbanan. Somewhere in the Shulchan Aruch is unclear if Grama is prohibited, certainly prohibited midrabbanan on Shabbos, might not be prohibited midrabbanan on Yontif. There was a whole tumult with the Star K ovens, if you've ever heard about these Star K ovens. Some claim you could adjust the Star K ovens on Yontif because nothing changes visibly on the keypad when you press the button, and it just randomly happens some point later, the temperature goes up or down. Rabbi Heinemann, who is the posuk for the Star K, claimed, well, it's grama, so it doesn't happen right away. There's a time delay, it doesn't complete your actions, it's grama. And nothing happens on the computer screen that's visible, even though you are using an electrical appliance. Nothing happens that's visible. And grama is mutter on Yontif. So that's what the Star K ovens are based upon. At the time when this came out, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, everyone, else disagreed with Rabbi Heinemann. There are other advantages to the Star K oven, don't get me wrong. You know, it has a nice override if you want to leave your oven on for more than 24 hours, which is helpful on every Yontif. There's other nice features. It turns off the light when you open the oven door. There's other nice features. I always recommend people get the Star K oven, but you can't use this function, the Yontif mode of pressing buttons, because everyone else disagreed. First of all, Grama and Yontif might not be Mutter. The Mordechai here says it's also on Yontif too. unless it's b'makom seda. And also, no one's going to be matir to use an electrical appliance, even if nothing happens right away. It happens later on, because no one is makel to. We're not makel to use electrical appliances at all, even if there's no discernible difference immediately. So, be that as it may, that was Rabbi Heinemann's argument based on this thing that Grama is perhaps mutar on Yontif. But either way, we generally assume Grama is awesome in the Rabbanon, both on Shabbos and on Yontif. And it's only mutar b'makom seda. That's how it appears in the Shulchan Aruch over here. Shin la medal sifcha beis gram kiboy mutar says the Rama b'makom seda, and he's only explaining the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch would agree. It's only mutar b'makom seda. 1 minute. But how is this mutar? Why is this only Grama? I have a fire that's coming to burn. Right. I put kalim down immediately. You know, I put kalim down in front of the fire. Is the fire still inching towards the kalim? Yeah. So is this, you know, aren't I harnessing a natural force by which kiboy is going to occur? How is this permitted? How is this any different than Zora v'ruach misayaso? So for Rashi, we could have said, Rashi says, what's the difference? Well, why Zora v'ruach misayaso aser? Rashi said, "Niskayma mashavto, what you wanted to happen happened." D'nechalei beruch mesayoso. That's how Rashi learned in Bava Kama Samach Amud Aleph. Why you're not allowed to use the wind to do that which you want? Because you accomplished the task that you wanted. So at least according to Rashi, we could argue. Look over here, the Shilta Giborim. Shilta Giborim says over here, "Oiz Zion." Commenting on that Gemara. Here, I don't want kiboy to happen. What do I want to happen? I don't want the fire to continue. If kiboy, the fire cannot continue without kiboy, without extinguishing, I'd be just as happy. So he says, the vada kogram kiboy, the sharinan who be inin she'enu machavin l'chavos. I don't want the kiboy. I just want the fire to be contained. They came, but kiboy. Okay, if the fire got extinguished, the fire got extinguished. So that's considered to be gram kiboy. That's not niskaima mashavto. I don't want. It's not like the same as using a natural force to do zora, winnowing, separating between the heavy chaff and the light, the light chaff and the heavy kernels of grain. That's because I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish here. I don't want this to happen. I don't want the kiboy to happen. I just don't want the fire to continue on. So that's grama. That's grama. That's gram kiboy. That's gram kiboy. However, the rush. Look back over here at Ois Test. The Rush learned that Gemara of Zora and Ruach Mesayasu a little bit differently than Rashi, more along the lines of the way we explained it. Why you chayev? You're chayev by Zora and Ruach Mesayasu because Isha Mishum Chitzav. Because, if not because I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, even though it was indirect, Rashi might say, by Zora and Ruach Mesayasu, it's only grama. I'm not doing the winnowing myself. The wind is doing the winnowing. The Rosh says, no, that case is different. Because that's like Isha Mishum Chitzav. You harness it. Rashi says, well, yeah, but you accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. It doesn't matter that happened through grama. So then we'll have to say, well, why is it then any different than when I wanted the fire to burn out? Well, because you really didn't want the fire to burn out. You just didn't want it to continue on. But according to the Rosh, it's not because I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. This is a classic case of Isha Mishum Chitzav. I used the wind to do that which I wanted. I used the wind to do that which I wanted. To do Zora. So it's over here. I'm harnessing a natural force to put out the fire. The fire is inching towards the kalim. I put the kalim there, that it will cause the fire ultimately to burn out. So look over here. The Rosh says, "Ois test the hasam maleches machshevas asur Torah avo pido havei v'grama b'yama." Even though what you're really doing is indirect, but haki chay v'Torah came into malach hazu ikir asiyos alidei ruach. How do you normally do zora through the wind? So that's why you're chayiv. So the Chazanish isn't sure if we apply Isha Mishum Chitzav to all Melechas Shabbos, or we only apply it to those Melechas that generally occur through Zora V'Ruach Masayasa. Look over here, it says the Chazanish Ois Yud. So we said, the Nebuka Yotzev applies Zora V'Ruach Masayasa, applies Isha Mishum Chitzav to lighting candles. We saw it, the Ramban says to plowing with animals. The Rosh says, that's the pshat over here, by winnowing with the wind. You're harnessing a natural force to do a malacha, but is that only those malachas that are normally done through a natural, or let's say I put something in an oven, right? And it cooks. I harness the natural force, what's that? Fire, to do what I wanted, to cook the item. Or Zora, I planted something in the ground. I harness the ground to do that which I wanted, that the thing should root. So all these instances, I harness a natural force to do a malacha. Perhaps those malachas are different because they're always done in that fashion. That's what the Chazanish says. Like trapping always usually happens in this fashion. But malachos acheros, after the bina miyad, maybe when it comes to other malachos, you need it to happen right away. You know, that's different. Because says the Chazanish at the end, Kevin the dark and mekach zeo ikar malacha. So this is actually a big machlok saposkin. Comes up over here. Look over here. The bir alocha oisir aleph. Says, I'm a Magen Avraham. What case are they talking about? A guy has a... I was just in Lancaster for Yontif, and they actually have one of these things. The guy showed it to us. Everyone else on the tour was like, oh, who cares? I was like, hey, that's the Magen Avraham. It's a water mill. I tried to tell them. No one was interested. My family, yeah. Oh, Grace and Lambda. So it's a water mill, which is grinding grain. Normally, we don't have it anymore. Who uses a water mill to grind grain? But in Amish country, they don't use electricity, because they still have this. So the water mill is pushed by a river or a stream, and that goes and that turns something else inside of the Beis Habadi, inside of some farmhouse that grinds the grain. So I want to put the grain in on Shabbos. Inside, but it's a, you know, it takes time for it to come around and get ground. So it's not going to happen right away, but it already started. You know, I harness a natural force by which the grain will get ground. So I'm a Magen Avraham Shemitzadeh Lohimah, then Eschidah Eschidah Masoich Rechayim Shomayim B'Shabbos Lekachi of Chatos. No, it's not Asmi Deraisa, it's Grama, Asmi Derabanan, but unless it's B'Mokom Seidim, and not Asmi Deraisa. The Mimego Asi, it happens by itself. Everyone disagrees with the Magen Avraham. What was the Magen Avraham saying? Tchina is not usually done in this fashion. It's usually done directly. I want to grind grain, I grind it up. Here, it's happening with I harness the natural force to do it, but it's not happening immediately. Even though the natural force is acting right away, it's not happening immediately. He obviously didn't apply Ishim Ishim Chitzav to Hilchos Shabbos, Melachos Shabbos, unless it's a Melacha that normally happens in this fashion, and Tchina does not normally happen in this fashion. Cooking never happens right away. Zoreya never happens right away. Zora in the wind never happens right away. You always need a natural force. Tchina, you don't necessarily need a natural force like the stream. Sometimes I could do it directly. Oh, then we don't apply Ishim Ishim Chitzav. But every one of the other Achreinim Docher Ayoso. V'eskimu achreinim, d'chayev after asim memego, v'chein kishoifu betano, or shafia memego asim, no different than cooking in an oven, where it happens by itself, mikol mokom, mikri, maisa, mamish, this applies to all meleches Shabbos, what the Chazanish was masupik about, many achreinim are sure about, that if it happens by any melech, I harness a natural force to do it, you will be chayev on Shabbos. Oh, so here over here, let's get back to the case by the keilim b'fnei adeleika. I have a fire that's burning. I put jugs right in front of the fire. How come I'm not chayev for kibbuy? I harness the natural force of the fire to do a malach of kibbuy. So Rashi said, well, it depends on your intention. It doesn't depend that you harness the natural force. It depends on your intention. Zora, you want the things to become winnowed and separated. Here, you don't want the malacha to occur. You just don't want the fire to continue on. But according to the Rosh, that this is like harnessing a natural force to do a malacha. Here, I harness the fire to put out. I harness the fire, the kelim, to put out and the fire to do a malacha of kibbuy. So the Acharonim explain. They quote the name of Tshuva Zera Emes. Reb Chaim Moizer quotes it. All the Acharonim say the same explanation. That no. Because here, the natural force is acting in one place. My action is in a different place. The same yisod, the distinction we began with. When do we say Zora? When do we say Ishim Ishim Chitzav? Not when it's Kalulei Chitzav. Not if there's a time gap and the force doesn't begin to act immediately at the completion of my action in order to complete that which I set out to accomplish. It's only if it happens right away to complete that which I want it to be done. Here, the fire is moving right away, or gravity is acting upon this item immediately when I throw it up, but it doesn't complete that which I want it to happen, which is it should come down until some time passes. It reaches the peak and then begins to fall down. So over here, the fire is burning over here, right? The kelim are over here. The fire burning towards the kelim doesn't act immediately upon my action to complete that which I set out to accomplish. One is over here and one is over here. It would only be considered Ishim Ishim Chitzav if I did an action over here and the Eish took it and, you know, the wind took it and brought it over here. I put something in the oven cooks it. I throw it in an arc, the wind takes it and brings it to over here, or my force brings it to over there. Here I throw it up, and then the force begins to act on it later to bring it down. It doesn't complete the action that I began. Here I began by putting jugs over here. The fire is inching closer to it over here. That's not acting not only immediately is not even enough. It has to be immediately, of course, to complete the action that I began. And that's not the action I began. I began by putting jugs over here. The fire is burning over here. So, Chaver, this is the big machlekes with regards to... That's not Ishim Mishum Chitzav. That's Kalu Lechitzav. Ishim Mishum Chitzav is only if it acts immediately to complete that which I began. So this is the big issue with regards to Shabbos clocks. Let's say I have a Shabbos clock that's about to turn off a light. Yeah. At 4 o'clock. I want it to turn off at 5 o'clock. I'd like to have an extra hour of light. So if you don't have to take the peg out, once you take the peg out, all bets are off. Now you're setting a Shabbos clock for the first time by putting it back in. Doesn't matter where it was. But let's say you could have a clock which you could adjust to an hour later without taking anything out. So you're preserving status quo. Preserving status quo on Shabbos is always permitted. Let's say it's supposed to go out at 4 o'clock. I don't want it to go out at all. I pull the peg out. Maybe it's tiltul muksa because what use is a peg out on Shabbos? Good question. But for all intents and purposes, at least vis-a-vis the malacha of Havara, it's mutter. I'm not causing the light to turn on. The light was always on. I'm just preserving status quo. Preserving status quo is always permitted on Shabbos. It's only to cause something to happen. Let's say over here, though, I wanted to turn off an hour earlier. Or it wasn't meant to turn off, and I wanted to turn off, so I put the peg in. Can you do that on Shabbos? It's not happening right away. It's not happening right away. Is it happening right away to complete that which I started? So it's grama for sure. Yeah, it'll only be mutter b'makom seida, or even on Yontif wouldn't be permitted. But sometimes you might encounter a makom seida. You might encounter a situation where it's necessary. So is this considered to be grama, or is this considered to be your action? So if Soloveitchik felt that this is considered to be one contraption, when I put the peg into the Shabbos clock, that is not, I'm doing an action over here, and the Shabbos clock is coming over here and then trips the wire. This is actually me putting me starting an action of turning on the light, and the Shabbos clock continues that which I started. Because the minute that you put the peg in, you're harnessing a natural force to do a malacha. Well, albeit the malacha happens later on, the natural force begins to act right away. The electricity is functioning right away. As opposed to, I think, a thermostat. One could have argued a thermostat. I'm doing, something over here. I'm changing the thermostat. Once the temperature drops, so then that triggers a thermostat. I'm not sure anybody would call that Maisa Ha'adam. Because nothing's acting directly on what I did in order to complete my action. That's like putting Kalim over here and the fire comes and, gets extinguished later. But to put a peg into a Shabbos clock of Soloveitchik viewed that as a contraption, which is later going to turn on the light or turn off the light, that's considered to be your action. They're considered to be one and the same. Other Paiskim argue that, no, Shabbos clocks are more like a thermostat, more like Kalim Bifnei Adeleka. I'm putting Kalim over here. The Shabbos clock is over here. Shabbos clock comes and trips the wire. So that's not considered to be completing my action. Yes, it is functioning right away, but it's not taking over where I left it. One is acting over here, one is acting over there. They don't view the Shabbos clock as the same contraption as a light. The light is over here, the Shabbos clock is over here, the two things are separate. Soloveitchik viewed them all as the same, and therefore if I put a peg into the Shabbos clock, it's as if I'm turning on, I harness a natural force to do my malacha of turning on the light, and therefore considered to be Maisa Adam Mamish. Rosh Hashanah also has a similar position. The other Paiskim who disagree that that's considered to be more of a grama. Even if it is a grama, Chevra, even if you're doing something indirect, if it happens right away, that's never a grama. Right? Let's say you have a stovetop. We just finished Shantiv, so we have to chazer these things afterwards. We should have chazer before. But I have a gas range. So, yeah, that's on. But people don't want it on. They cooked already. Now they want to turn it off. Can you turn off a gas range on Yom Tov? Or on Shabbos? Let's say I have it on. I want to turn it off. Let's say I have a fire that's burning. And there's fuel standing in the way of the fire. Can I remove the fuel from the path of the fire? Yeah, it's not booked. So why can't I move it out of the way? I don't have an obligation to keep the fire going. So what am I doing by turning off the gas? You're preventing the flow of gas to the fire. I'm not putting out the fire. It just ran out of fuel. I don't have to keep providing it with fuel, right? So that's why they quote in the name of Rav Moshe, it's Mipi HaShmuel. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Igros Moshe. Rabbi Tilner quotes this, that you can turn off a gas range on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not doing anything. You're just stopping the flow of fuel to the fire. It goes out by itself. And everyone else disagrees. If you follow all the chumras of Rabbi Isha, you can adopt this kula. But no one else subscribes to this. Why? Because it happens immediately. Anything that you do that it causes an immediate change, even if it's bederach grumma, even if it's not direct. I didn't put out the fire. But the minute you do this, you turn off the gas, the fire goes out. We treat that as kiboy. Anything that happens immediately is considered to be your action. The last source on the sheet, look at it if you have a moment, is the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, if I shoot an arrow at you, I shoot an arrow at somebody else, and he's holding a shield. Someone else comes and takes the shield out of the way. So who's the rotzeach? Not the guy who shot the arrow. When I shot the arrow, there was a shield there. And the guy who removed the shield, as long as the arrow wasn't, you know, he's not a murderer either. All he did was remove a shield. I didn't shoot the guy. I just removed his shield. See, when it says neither one is a rotzeach. The guy who shot it, no. Because when he shot it, there was a shield there. Not the guy who removed the shield. Because he removed the shield. He didn't kill the guy. All I did is remove a shield. It says the Gemara, I didn't put out the fire. All I did is remove the fuel. It says the Gemara, if the arrow is standing right on the shield, as the arrow is about to hit the shield, I remove the shield, it happens, boom, right away, then the guy who removes the shield is a murderer. And the Yad Ramah explains, because even though what you did was not, you know, did not cause his death, since it happened immediately, even though all you did was remove something that was preventing him from dying, you remove the shield, that's considered to be your action. So Saltovia, Rova, Paisin disagree with the Ramayisha. The minute you turn off the gas range, it turns off, gives the impression that you extinguish the flame, that's considered to be your action, you'll be chayiv. So you can't turn it off on Shabbos or Yontif. You sometimes lower it, sometimes raise it, depending on your needs of cooking on Yontif, not on Shabbos. But not to turn it off. All right, Kevin. Fun time.